I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
Returning to the podcast after two nights
of return of the Mac.
It's been so much stuff on that not all of us have actually been able to be in the same room to podcast.
Apart from
exactly.
Me.
I've had more important things to be doing.
Yeah, of course. Treat our audience like scum. What? You disregard them.
By not attending.
Exactly. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I guess so.
So, this is the third of the nightly roundups from what we've been doing at NAMM.
And the second one we've recorded today.
NAMM 3.
No, we didn't record another one today.
Yeah, you recorded one this morning.
Did we record that this morning?
Yeah.
We recorded this morning.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's why we didn't get breakfast. Man. And God, then we ate a burrito.
Oh, God, that burrito made me feel so bad. Oh. There was,
anyway.
There was some burrito issues today.
Too much
information. Anyway, so yes, it's Saturday night. We're recording before we go out to the Pedal Builders Summit, which is what we're doing this evening.
I wish they'd called it a ball.
The Pedal Builders Ball.
Yeah.
PBB.
Yeah.
PBB.
PBB. Boutique Builders Ball.
Oh,
the
I
triple,
love it.
Triple B.
Oh,
okay. So we've had another busy day at NAMM, going around on the show floor, and we had some meetings and stuff, and saw some cool new stuff get released. It's been a real busy one. I'm really feeling it.
We're
today.
We're clocking in at 7.8 miles so far today.
Really?
Wow.
So
that's
far.
Not very far, is it?
That is very far. My feet are really hurting today. I don't 15, know.
15,000 steps.
I don't know how people, because I feel like we've covered a lot of stuff, but we've been quite relaxed, and you know, we've been hanging out with people and having drinks and haven't been doing any like video editing in the evenings and stuff. If you were doing that, I think you'd be broken by now, because I'm on the
imagine
edge.
Imagine that.
I don't even drink and
exactly.
I'm on the edge. God knows how you feel.
I don't know how people manage to edit videos.
I don't think I've ever drunk as much as I have in the last few days.
Good.
Ever before in my life.
I mean, you're looking good for it,
thanks,
so it's
man.
Fine.
Well, I feel better about it because I've been doing it all on that sweet Patreon money.
What? No drinks get charged to the Guitar Nerds account.
Wow.
Know that, Patreon backers, that Joe hasn't been pissing away your hard-earned Patreon cash. We've actually been using it on, stuff around the show, but not booze. So it's all good. So what I thought we'd do, as we have done the last two nights, is recap what we did during the day. And to be honest, today we haven't done a huge amount of stuff because it's mainly been like hanging out with cool people. Mm. The first of which, we obviously Gear of the Year was a couple of weeks ago. And as we know, Fidelity Guitars, the guys at Fidelity Guitars made us some kind of medals for the winners. They're actually made of wood, but they were like bronze, silver and gold styled. So we thought that we'd bring them to NAMM because not only was the second place winner here, but the first place winner was here.
I know.
Matt, talk about the silver medal that you gave out today.
So the silver medal we took to Mr. Yoshi Ikegami.
Yes.
President of BOSS.
Absolute
personal
legend.
Friend.
Legend. Industry legend.
Who we're going to have a beer with this evening. But yeah, I popped up to the BOSS booth to do some work. And he was there, and I was like, oh, I've got a special gift. And he was like, oh, you know, what is it? And I was like, well, we did Gear of the Year, and we voted the MS3 number 2 on the best gear of 2017, and we've got a little prize. And he was like, oh, amazing for me. And I was like, we went over to the proper photo booth wall and had a picture done. He was super pleased. And he gave me a gift as well, which was really nice.
Nice. Yeah. So he is an actual industry legend. Like, I think we talked when we first met him on, we were doing the GAC podcast.
Yeah.
And we talked about his kind of history. And he was at, was it Fender Japan at some point? Or he's.
I think he's been with, no, he's been at with BOSS for, well, Roland since like 1980. One.
Okay. Oh, no, he's friends with someone who was running Fender in Japan, I think, something like that.
Maybe something like that.
But yeah, he's a real cool dude. He loves to run, as we know.
Yes. Yeah.
He loves to run.
So it was super cool to see him and hang out with him for a little bit, because, you know, I haven't been over there much. I've been...
Well, you've been to Japan recently, but haven't specifically been to the Roland booth.
Yeah,
is what you mean.
So it was cool to see him and give him the prize, and the medals are so good.
Yeah, yeah. Big shout out to Fidelity Guitars for making them the real special little thing.
Yeah.
God knows who we're going to give the third place one to, because Epiphone obviously aren't here, and I don't know anyone who works at Epiphone.
No, they're like the most faceless company ever. There's no one really to give them to.
Well, we were talking about this morning, and they used to have Dr. Epiphone, who was the mascot for Epiphone. He was just a guy who wore a lab coat and was quite mad about Epiphone. And I think like the most recent Google result was from 2013, so I doubt he's still active.
Didn't he do an in-store at GAC once?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it wasn't particularly successful. Anyway, so the other medal that we gave out was for the number one winner of Gear of the Year. We've been trying to arrange this for the last few days with the guys at Music Man, and today was the day where James Valentine was on the stand doing interviews, doing signings, and kind of generally pushing his guitar. So we went down there, and after some waiting around while he did an impromptu talk, we basically gave him his first place medal, and he looked... At first, he was very confused... He looked like...
Well, basically, let's rewind a bit. He appeared on the stand. We were standing there waiting for him, because I wasn't sure whether this would actually happen, because it's kind of like, you know, Rune 5. Obviously, he's not maybe as big a deal as some other people, but he's still a pretty big deal. And actually, he's more of a big deal to me, having owned that guitar and now having gone to the Music Man factory.
Yeah.
He walked on the stand. It's obviously like they've got everyone lunch, and he sat down and started eating a sandwich. Like, can't really go to him now, can we? Like,
yeah.
He's eating a sandwich. And then... He'd like taken two bites, and then Sterling Ball was having like a talk with Steve Morse and Albert Lee. And he was like, where's James? Like, James come up on the stand. He was like, oh, I've got to put my sandwich down. I need to get up. And he talked about the guitar for a bit and then came off stage. And then like people tried to talk to him, and we just like tapped him on the shoulder and were like, can we just quickly take a photo?
We spoke to the A&R guy, and we were like, should we just wait for him to like finish what he's doing and then eat his sandwiches? And he was like, that will never happen. Just honestly, just go up and grab him. So that's what we did. And the way we approached it, he sort of, you can see why he was a bit nervous, because I think we went up there and went, hi, James, we've got a present for you, which is always a little bit terrifying for someone you don't know.
I wasn't there at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hearing the story for the first
time. I was like... Oh, we're from the Guitar Nerds podcast, and like we really love guitar, and we do a thing, and we just got a present for you. And he was like, whoa.
Yeah. And so basically, once we'd explained it, he totally got it. And he was really, once he saw the medal, he was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And there's some great photos. If you check out the Instagram stories, and I think the Facebook group, it's in there as well. He had it around his neck. And he was like, oh, this is really cool. Let's get a photo. And then he was like, actually, do you know what? What I want you to do is raise my hand up like a boxing referee. And I'll hold the medal. He suddenly got really into it.
And then he handed it back and was like, do I need to give it back? I was like, no, it's yours. And he's like, I'm going to wear it all day.
And we saw him later, but I didn't catch whether he was actually wearing it or not.
I didn't. Probably. So I saw him later. He was deep in conversation. I was like, and we gave him a card, and I was like, dude, we'd love to have you on the podcast and talk about the guitar and everything.
Yeah, so. That'd be real good. I think we could probably arrange that through the Ernie Ball A&R guy. So that's that was cool. It was a really good thing. We should say that, you know, this is... Matt and I were talking about it after we'd done it, and we're like, we're only here and we're able to do these cool things because of you guys supporting not only the Patreon backers, but also, you know, people who just listen to the podcast. And it's been amazing how many people we've met at the show who know about the podcast, and it's really cool to see. And that kind of, because today's the last real day of NAMM, I guess, although you guys are going to do
some stuff
tomorrow.
We're doing a bit of a follow-up day tomorrow.
It was all just like crystallized in that moment. Matt holding James Valentine's arm aloft like he'd just won
a
heavyweight boxing match.
Surreal, I think, because, you know, it feels good for us to vote that as number one and then see so many people in the group buy the guitar. But then for us to meet the man behind the guitar, it's kind of just like, yeah. But it really felt like, you know, we sat down maybe a year ago and said, right, what do we want to achieve as Guitar Nerds this year? And we were like, we should all end up at NAMM. Like, the crowning achievement is this, if we all ended up standing outside NAMM, and then that's just like the icing on the cake, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. It was really, really good,
good way to seal the end of Gear of the Year, and I think we should do it every year.
Make the medals and try and give them to people. Definitely. Yeah. So after that, we had a big product launch. We've been to the Ormsby booth a couple times. Well, a few times actually, because, you know, it's nice to see Perry. Nice to finally meet the man, the myth, the legend, Perry Ormsby. And obviously, all of his range is great. And he was showing, showing us a lot, some of the more traditional stuff today, because he knows that that's the kind of guitar that I prefer.
We spoke about it a bit on the other podcast, didn't we?
We talked about the booth and some stuff that was there, but yeah, there are some.
He's got the GTR Goliath with their copper top.
Yeah.
Finish.
That was a great looking guitar.
Yeah, and I really like the classics, the Strats that he's doing, the Strat style ones. He also had a custom shop his single cut, his like Les Paul style things there, and I thought, that was absolutely banging.
Really, really nice.
Closet classic relic, sort of lacquer checked
Les Paul.
Les Paul, but
fan frets.
You know, fan fret and with the contoured heel and everything. Oh man, I really love that guitar.
Yeah, that was
I thought the copper top was for me.
Oh yeah, I mean,
because for the quality,
the custom shop copper top. Or do you mean the GTR Goliath?
The GTR. Yeah.
Like listeners, if you haven't checked out the Ormsby GTR series Goliaths, I can't believe he's making guitars that good. I know it's World Music Co, but I can't believe guitars that good are coming out of it.
It was, do you know what the highlight for me was for the Orms booth? Meeting Perry.
Yeah,
yeah, it was definitely meeting Perry.
That was the highlight for, you know, our personal highlights, I think. But I would say that, you know, what brought most attention to the booth was what happened today.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain it, Joe, what went on?
So, yeah, sure. Like, a few months ago, Perry started Facebooking me these absolutely bizarre build photos of something top secret.
I'm glad it was a guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, these really weird shadowy images. He started sending me like these pictures of this absolutely bananas build and asked me to sort of keep it a secret. And today it was revealed that he had been building for popular YouTuber Jared Dines an 18-string Ormsby guitar. It was absolutely bonkers. The story to that, listeners, is if you do follow Jared Dines' videos, and I think we mentioned it on the podcast before, but Jared Dines tried to have a 17-string guitar made for 2017, and for all intents and purposes, he was scammed, and the guitar ended up not coming to fruition. And I think what became more popular even than the guitar itself was the fact that Jared chose to make very public to sort of destroy the reputation and the company that had caused him the trouble.
Yeah.
So after that, Perry got hold of him and offered to make him an 18-string for 2018.
It's one louder
move.
And one louder, isn't it?
Yeah, one louder. So he and today was the launching of that. So they had Jared Dines on the stand and they had an unveiling of the 18-string, complete with this gold 2018 medallion that Jared then wore. But it was absolutely, it was the most ridiculous guitar. So Jared Dines' YouTube logo is a sort of a cartoon animation of Jared's face. And Perry had made that, a full color version of that, the 12th fret marker.
You say 12th fret, it spans about 6 frets. Yeah, it's that big.
Yeah. I mean, The fretboard on that guitar is almost as wide as this table.
Yeah.
Like actually almost not joking. He had to carbon fiber reinforce the headstock because of the amount of tension going on there from 18 strings. And he'd had the headstock fitted with a little blue LED light that lit up a sign that said, I think it's Ormsby Gent Factory or
okay.
Something
of course.
Like that. This it's also a real stone top. The top is stone. This new Perry was explaining it to me, it's this new kind of I won't say this completely accurately, but it's kind of a rubberized form of stone so that it can be shaped in the same way that wood can for a top. So it was this gorgeous like sort of grey, sort of quartzy style stone on this absolute ridiculous guitar. And there were loads of people around the booth. And
Didn't you say to me, one security guard came over and was like, is there a gig going on?
The security guard was basically saying, there's too many people here. How long are you going to be doing this for? And I think Perry said, like, oh, it'll just be like 3 minutes. And it ended up obviously being half an hour or something.
It was about 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And Jared played it a little bit and spoke about it, and they told the story.
When you say played, he looked very confused. I assume he hadn't had too much time with the guitar before the unveiling.
That genuinely was the first, like, he hadn't even seen build picks of the guitar, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm into that.
So, it was the first time he's seen it. So, of course, he couldn't actually play it at all. But, I thought it was wonderful. It was brilliant. It was an excellent idea. It was, for me, one of the highlights of NAMM, just because it was such a fantastically executed release.
Yeah.
It's a stupid product. You know, no one's ever going to order it again. Although you can, because Perry's kept the presses.
Do we know how much?
Guitars. I can't remember. No, I wouldn't want to. Say in case we get it wrong.
£1,300.
Yeah. but it was just fantastically executed because it had tons of people, loads of channels and media all around the Ormsby stand, all checking out the rest of his guitar range as well. So it was just a fantastic piece of marketing.
I like the fact that when we were there later, what's his name? Dino Cal.
Dino from Fear Factory was hanging around.
I remember when you covered Cars. It was excellent.
And what was actually really a nice little touch for guitar nerds is me and Mark turned up there what I thought was about 40 minutes early, which turned out to be
exactly on time, basically.
Well, about 50 minutes late.
The
crowd was already there. So we sort of we stood at the back and Perry's marketing fella sort of saw us and was like, oh, guitar nerds, come through. And he got us right to the front.
Yeah, you got like an exclusive view.
I was on the stand next to them rather than being in the crowd. And that was pretty good considering all the other sort of NAMM media brands were there. Of course, like, we're not really capturing like any film footage. Well, there was not much point for me. I just sort of filmed it on my phone.
Bit of Instagram and that'd be fine.
But yeah, what an absolutely cracking... just really interesting. Loved it.
Yeah. A nice big NAMM event, you know. Good absolutely. Stuff. And we also went to the Guild stand today. Matt, it was pretty eye-opening, wasn't it, how good Guild have suddenly got.
Going back to how much we appreciate the support and listen of the podcast, thanks to every company that reached out to us personally and said... We listen to the podcast, and because it opened our eyes to how many people out there in the industry are listening to us day by day. But like, stop by the booth. We listen to the podcast, and there was someone got in touch from Guild and Cordoba, and we spoke with. I'm going to forget his name now.
Oh, Matt, you've put me on the spot now. We spoke to so many people today. I was going to say Aiden.
Was it Aiden or Robert?
Aiden was from Celestion, who we'll talk about in a bit. Alex.
It might have been Alex.
Oh, I feel so bad. He didn't have a business card, which makes
it
so
difficult. Have a business card. Hold on.
You guys are terrible. I never forget names.
I'm going to have to find it now because he's going to listen to the podcast. It was Alex.
Yeah, there we go.
He's in charge of product management at Guild. He was quite new to the whole thing. He was like, it's just me and one other, and we just really wanted to like do the best we could with Guild. And I had no idea. Their guitars were so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Korean built, all of the electrics for the moment.
Yeah, but it was just... let me just see if they were on the website, because there
they
was...
They are on the website, yeah. So I'll run through the models that I think are most appropriate. So of the regular electrics, there's the Jetstar... the ones that we think kind of stood out, the Jetstar, the T-Bird, and then the S-Series, which is S100 and S200. There are other models as well, but the Jetstar, I guess, is like a... sort of double cutaway, almost like Epiphone coronet shape, would you say, Matt? Which is really good. Loads of cool colours on that. And they're not mega money. Matt, I think you've got pricing.
I think. Let's have a look.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And
and found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you put it in the email, Mark?
No, I didn't put it in the email, actually. Sorry.
I think they started at...
They were like $599.
And they went up to about $849.
Yeah. Yeah, across the range.
Across the range, yeah.
The electric range, anyway. So, yeah, Jetstar was really good. T-Bird, which is the kind of... almost like an offset, but they're kind of like squarer than an offset.
They're just real... I love the fact that all these cool 60s-style guitars are coming...
Yeah.
Sort of back in. Yeah, I guess kind of like a slightly squat, a slightly melted Jaguar, I guess.
Maybe?
Yeah. Jazzmaster.
Like spread out a little bit. But there was one in particular that's really nice, which is Double P90 in Lake Placid Blue.
Yeah.
And that guitar was awesome. I think we took some photos for Instagram on that one.
We did, yeah. I need to upload those. But that was a cool looking guitar.
Definitely, definitely.
And he was hoping to do a couple more of the kind of vintage colours, I think, in the future and things like that. But he was like, we wanted to do the Pelham Blue because it's just such a cool looking colour.
And then the
Talk Guard.
S100 and S200 were the real classic guild shape and included the S200 that had all the switching options?
You know, all the switching options was on the... I thought it was on the T-Bird.
Okay.
Was it the T-Bird?
I thought it was the S series.
I mean, I
we've seen a lot of.
I think Peckham's right.
We've seen a lot of guitars this weekend, but Matt's gonna to get the details. I'll talk about the other one.
S200 T-Bird had all the kind of crazy switches. If I've got the thing in front of me, so like two modes, volume, tone. Then there was like then there was pickup switching for neck and bridge, and then mode 1 and mode 2 volume and mode 1 and mode 2 tone with the kind of Hagstrom trem
yeah.
as well.
Oh yeah, it's got the Hagstrom, that kind of like trem bar that sits in the middle of the strings.
Yeah. I was instantly attracted to it because I was like, it's got lots of switches on it.
Yeah.
What do they do?
Loads to do.
Yeah.
Loads to do. So yeah, I guess the T-Bird. So it's T-Bird, S100, S200. What's the one with the P90s called?
That one was called, because I just saw the picture of it. And I've lost it. Guild guitars. I'm sure. This is
good noise.
Yeah, I know. This is like superb.
Excellent radio.
Amazing content, guys.
Yeah, it's been a long weekend.
I'm just really dead. That one, T-Bird ST P90 in Pelham Blue.
That's the one. It's so good. That's the guitar that.
And then S200 T-Bird in Black or Antique Burst was the one with all the switches.
Yep.
And then the S100s were the kind of more classic double cut shape, I guess.
The other guitar that really stood out for me was the T50 Slim, which I guess looks like, if you've ever seen the ES...
120?
Yeah, Gibson ES120T, which is the single P90 slim hollow body with no cutaways.
Oh, I'm into that.
Yeah, I think to me this was like a great alternative to the Epiphone...
James Bay,
the Century.
Yeah, and so it was like $1099. Something like that. And it's Korean made rather than, I guess the Epiphone one's going to be Chinese. And yeah, it was awesome. It's awesome. I've always loved that style. And, I like those Epiphone ones. Obviously, an original ES120T is fantastic. But this is now a genuine contender for that. It looks really good.
Yeah.
We got that one down for Instagram photos, and I managed to have a play on it for a bit, and it just felt really nice.
I just liked their booth in general.
Yeah, definitely.
It's because they had all those at the front. They had a lot of acoustics, which we didn't go into, but they with Cordoba, they make some great acoustics, and then obviously Guild, they have some great acoustics as well. And then they were kind of like, oh, and then we've got these ones. And they showed us the basses, which were really awesome.
Yeah, there's at the moment it's just Starfire basses, and they offer it in one or two pickups.
Uh-huh.
Loads of
great
different
basses.
Yeah.
Sounded great.
Really nice. And they offer them in a range of colours and stuff. But he said there's more basses coming, basically. So that range is going to expand. And, I think whether it's, more hollow bodies or more solid bodies, I don't know. But, yeah, there's definitely more on the way. So big things, I think, because, it's a brand that's got a huge amount of heritage. And it's kind of been messed around with a few times over the years. And I think that has got diluted. And they seem to be really back on it now. Big fans of the brand, running the
absolutely.
Brand.
Absolutely. Want that brand to come back in a big way.
Definitely. Yeah. definitely. So then the next thing we did was we ventured up to a bar on the kind of sky bridge that links the two buildings for a drinking competition.
Oh, yes.
Between yourself, Joe Branton, and Steve from 60 Cycle Hum.
It was the prestigious battle of...
Battle of the Boozers.
Battle of, yes, the Boozers. So, Steve and I...
Okay, what
ascended.
I and Steve.
Well, we went up there and all the boys from Gear Slum.
Yeah,
all the best podcasters.
Yeah, basically all the podcasters were all up there ready for this battle. And me and Steve did not disappoint. Cole Duke put his card behind the bar, which I didn't realise and then paid for a load of drinks myself. But, you know.
That's fair.
But yeah, that's right. We went at it and some time later ended up keeled over outside the first aid.
There was literally a picture of you both dead outside the first aid tent.
Joe was just arse up on the floor.
Yeah, I mean,
I was not, I wasn't feeling great sort of going into the competition. I had I kept getting messages from people in the morning being like, yeah, are you ready for the competition? And I got so drunk last night that I was really like, I was so shaky and so like, I was not looking forward to the competition. But when I saw Steve and I saw the smug look on his face.
You had to take him down.
I did, yeah.
So there's if you're
in the tie.
If you're in the Facebook group, there's some real good photo coverage of that. You want to just go on there and see how it all went down. It's it's pretty wild. And we only really saw one other booth, to be honest, today. And it was because we got a tip off from occasional podcaster and podcast listener JD Short, who said that he'd spoken to the guys at Celestion, and Aiden, who is a sales manager at Celestion, is a listener at the podcast. Mm. And JD said he had a really good conversation with them about the podcast, but also about the new products that Celestion have got for guitar. And, you know, when you think of Celestion, you obviously think of all the classics, and it's one of those, it could potentially be one of those brands where they just make the classic stuff, and they put out new stuff occasionally, but no one really, really cares. But actually, the new stuff that they've put out this time around, I'm very, very excited about. So, two new speakers. The first one, Mac, the copper back.
Yeah. So, it was funny because we went there and we were like, oh, do you want a tour of the new speakers? And I was like, it's just one thing we've never really... We've obviously always talked about the classics.
Yeah.
So it's like... And it was something I'd never really considered. And then they were like, well, what we've done is we always get asked about creambacks or, you know, greenbacks. And then they were like, what we want is a more high-powered speaker that's an equivalent to, like, an EV, but better, for pedal platform. Because I've actually used EV because we were... They were talking and said, oh, it's 250 watts. I was like, oh, so it's ideal to be like, you know, no distortion at high volume. So you can slam a load of stuff into it and it just won't break up. And they were like, that's exactly what we're going for.
Yeah.
Like the pedal platform amplifier. And I thought, you know, what a great idea.
Yeah, how topical is that? That's absolutely brilliant.
And I don't think they'd necessarily thought that. They were just going for people who like the EV speaker, which is the really... clean. And the thing is, as we kind of agreed, I really love the sound of the EV speaker that I've got at the moment, but I was like, it can sound a little clinical, and that's why I've mixed it with a creamback. So you've kind of got the vintage thing and then the real high output modern speaker. But the real standout for that was neodymium magnet, so it weighed nothing. So I don't know how many people have tried an EV speaker before, but they are the heaviest speakers on the planet.
Yeah
because they have to have such a high powered magnet in them to kind of push out the sound. But these were Neo, and they were like super light.
Yeah,
really into that.
We didn't really get to hear anything, so they just had the speaker on display.
I mean, we were like,
kind of
I
concept.
I mean, I could listen to a speaker and be like, yeah.
Yeah,
you want to hear it in like your set, you want to feel it and play it, and they didn't really have anything like that there. I guess because they know it's so loud. If you sat in front of three, four different speakers,
they're all going to sound the same.
They're all going to sound
pretty
the
much.
Same.
Yeah, yeah. And they also, I think, did something really clever with the other new product they showed us. And Matt, you might have to find the name of it because I don't think we've got it in the email. But basically, they've designed a full range speaker specifically for guitar cabs that. The idea behind it, I guess, is that, you know, FRFR cabs that we've talked about all the time, pretty much they're pretty bland looking, because most of the time they're just PA speakers.
Yeah.
That, you know, are in a PA housing, and, you know, they're nothing special in particular. But the idea behind this is that you can have a Celestion made FRFR speaker and put it into whatever cabinet that you want.
It was so basically you can fit them into like a good looking vintage cab and still keep, you know, all of that versatility that comes with, you know, things like the Helix and
It was basically a coax guitar speaker that was full range but responded and felt like a guitar speaker, but you could use it for, you know, a Kemper. I was like, I can't believe no one else has done that.
Well, I mean,
because I was like, you can now go to Zilla, you can have your Kemper, and you don't have to stick it on top of, you know, albeit a great, you know, something like the Friedman cabs. You know, they're great cabs, but they say they're just boring. Now you can have like a custom built Zilla cab and a full range speaker installed, and on stage it looks like a real amp. And I think that's the one thing that all these modelers and stuff are lacking. You know, and you see people with Axe Effects, but they're still running it through a power amp, so they can run it through.
Headrush did actually announce an FRFR speaker to go with the Headrush.
But it's very much like a PA speaker.
Yeah, it looks like a floor monitor.
Yeah.
Which is totally. And I think that's the thing.
That's not what guitar players want.
Yeah. Well, this allows you, for example, let's say you've got like a Marshall head and a 212. It means that you can go, well, I'm switching to something like Kemper or switching to Axe Effects, and I can basically keep my cab. I just need to switch out these two speakers, and I've got a great-looking vintage cab, or, you know, whatever your preference is on the cab.
Yeah.
And you've got the right speakers in there to do it justice. It means that you can keep a guitar cab and not switch off the amp modelling in the modeller that you're getting.
Yeah.
Awesome bit of kit. I was really surprised. They seem to be very much finger on the
and
pulse.
They're from my hometown.
They are the Ipswich.
I'm really looking forward to, hopefully I can try a couple of those. I'd like to try the full range. I haven't necessarily got anything to try it with, but I think maybe we can work something out with the two note setup we've got to try that.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to try the Copperbacks in my 212.
Yeah. That's I think it's going to sound
awesome. Especially when I've got something like the Morgan, which is a really good pedal platform amplifier.
Yeah.
And we were talking to Brian Wampler about the Provado, and I think maybe pairing something like that with those speakers could be really
that's going to sound wicked, isn't it? Those amps sounded great. We did stop by Wampler briefly today.
And mainly see the Provado sort of perfect pedal platform
actually being used, because, you know, obviously I've seen YouTube demos and stuff, but it's the first time.
It sounded.
Into Tom Quayle. He was there using them. He loved them.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it sounded fantastic.
The problem is at the moment they don't seem to be available in the UK, so none of us have heard them. But yeah, hearing them on the show floor, they sounded really good. Really nice.
Yeah.
The last thing that we did today was the GitCon meetup. Joe, obviously you visited GitCon, what, four months ago?
Or, I don't know.
Something like that. And it was a good chance for you to catch up and introduce us to all of those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was really good. So everyone got back together on the Warwick and Framus booth, ate some cake. Well, I didn't. I sort of stood there.
The cake was real nice.
Yeah.
It was in the shape of a Warwick base.
Yeah. It was really good, but it was nice to see everyone again, and also to really sort of sort out a few more things, because I think everything got so busy just after GitCon that I think we'd sort of made loads of new friends and arranged loads of new people to come on the podcast, but we never quite got round to it. So it was really nice to hook up with the. I think Matt was most excited to finally meet the original YouTuber.
Gear Man Dude. Unbelievable. I didn't think he actually had a face.
Yes.
he has a face.
I didn't look at his shoes, because he always has the...
Oh, no, he doesn't. Like, at GitCon, he was just walking around in normal shoes and then had, like, these crocodile...
Oh, that he put on.
Just for when he was...
Amazing. Because he was the to me, the original YouTube demo guy. And I said to him, I was like, dude, you're the reason that most people have YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm always like... And the thing is like, and everyone obviously admits that he's seen all the comments, sounds like Jack Black on the videos.
Yeah.
And because he's always talking about his white curly lead of doom. And it was just one of those things. I was like, I honestly never thought, like 15 years ago when I started watching gear demos, well, I guess 10 years ago when YouTube started, you know, that I'd end up meeting him. I was like, dude, you have to come on the podcast and we have to talk about it.
Yeah, he's great. He was really excited to come on the podcast as well. He was chasing us on it. He wants to come on. So that's going to be really great to have him on as well. We also met up with Tyler and Bethany Larson, who run the hugely successful...
Music is Win.
How does he do a video a day?
He does a video every day. And bear in mind, the YouTube's just like the side thing.
His main thing is like tutorials. Lessons, yeah.
That's right. So, and he does a video every single day.
Yes, he's crazy.
And him and Bethany have started quite recently. I think they're a few episodes in, so maybe 10 or so episodes.
No, more than that. Bethany was saying they've done like 25, something like
that.
Because they do two a week.
Now. Okay, yeah. So they're...
Where have they got that idea
they've
from?
Got, yeah, where did they get the idea of doing a podcast? Stop giving
away our secrets, Ben.
Jay Brandon's been giving away our secrets.
I just called you Ben for some reason.
That's fine.
Stop giving away our secrets, Ben.
But yeah, we bumped into them and we're going to get them on the... podcast, which is really great. Really looking forward to that. Yeah, it was cool. GitCon meeting was excellent.
Oh, God.
I think we're all falling apart.
Everyone's falling apart. I also went and did some.
Matt's dying.
I went and did some video demos for Stonefield.
Do you remember?
Well, this was literally immediately after
the drinking competition.
Oh, I was also interviewed for.
A bass player.
All about the bass.com?
No, it wasn't that.
No, what was it?
Another bass thing. I can't remember.
No, it was all about the bass.com.
Okay.
I think it was. Something like that. Anyway, doesn't matter. I've got his card somewhere probably.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I was interviewed by them and and also did some, because they've got these demo rooms at NAMM now, which is a terrible idea because even when there's a little room for these things, it's still stupidly loud everywhere.
So
I went and played, did a little demo on the M series bass, which I have. It was really cool to see the new affordable line of Stonefest. Did we talk about that on
the previous one?
Oh, we've already mentioned that. Okay, that was cool. Yeah.
Busy day. So basically, let's wrap this one up. We're about to go to the Pedal Builder Summit. You guys, I guess, are going to talk about that tomorrow on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm not podcasting again today. We can't do three in a row. That would be brutal. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. I'm not going to be on the podcast tomorrow because I'm flying out of here tomorrow. You guys will do one more. But just want to say, you know, if you've been listening this week to the NAMM coverage, thanks so much for doing so. I just checked our podcast stats and yesterday was our busiest ever day for listens.
That drunk cast.
No one heard that. Thank God. Well, only Patreons, special Patreons.
Oh man.
I almost feel like we just can't do enough right now. Like we can't get enough pictures up. You know, it's
busy.
Yeah, it's been so good, and I think it's amazing that we've actually managed to make it here.
I'm gonna have a holiday next week. It's gonna be brilliant.
Go back to work.
Yeah, indeed.
It's a shame. It has felt like I've been on holiday. Get that post-holiday blues.
Yeah, indeed. So thanks very much for listening this week. There'll be one more wrap-up show coming up, and then I guess you guys are going to do a normal podcast next week without me.
Are we?
Well, I guess so.
I might be not alive at that point.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how everyone is. But yeah, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Farewell! Bye-bye.